So today we want to begin something powerful. I want to begin to talk to you about something entitled The Things That Have Been Freely Given to Us. I believe that this will usher us as a people into more, into our destinies, into all that the Lord has actually given to us. We'll now begin to partake and enjoy them. We'll begin from 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Can we take our Bibles there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and in verse number 9. Glory, glory, glory. Are we ready? So are we all here together in spirit and in body? Come on. Are we here in spirit and in body? And say there, some of us, some people are here with us, but not in body. Come on. They're here with us. They're online. Come on, we love you. All of Jonas online. Come on. Come on. We love you. We love you. You joined us in spirit. And some of us are here in body. We are here in body together, but you are here with us in spirit. Hallelujah. All right. It's beautiful to recognize, you know, people join us online, and it's powerful. Some of our friends, we know some of you, you know, we don't know everybody, but we know you're there, and we really appreciate you joining us for service. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. But I'm just jumping into this verse because this is not where I'm going to, so I feel this is a good enough place for us to jump in to the river. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God, right, had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that is, Spirit which comes from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. All right, so this is the verse. Now, the Bible says that there's so much to unpack from this very verse, verse number 12. This is where I want to stay. It's, you know, where it came from. I had not seen, you had not heard. It was talking about the fact that these things are not in, this don't come to us naturally. Naturally you can't receive them. And then he says, well, you can't receive them, you won't know them, because they are inside of God, and from inside of God to inside of man, and only the Holy Spirit knows the things that are inside of God. And now, we have received the Spirit of God. And so, now that we have the Spirit of God, we can now know. You have to stay here. I'm already walking. We cannot know. And so that's what leads us to this verse. So it says, now we have received the spirit of, we're not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So that's God's spirit now. God's spirit that knows everything that God has inside of us, inside of him. Now we have received that same spirit. And so we're talking about, we see one of the functions, I was really meaning to do something about the Holy Spirit, but the Lord led me here. And finally, right from this verse to teach you, and right from this verse, we're seeing a function of the Holy Spirit. It says that we receive this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, for the purpose that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So we see, if we unpack this verse, we see the working of the Spirit. You see the working of the Spirit to bring us to a place to know, to help us know. Because naturally you will know these things, but because of the Holy Spirit, you can know these things. So the part of the working of the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit is not just for speaking in tongues. He enables us in prayer, and so we're able to pray in the Spirit, or able to pray in tongues. But it's not just for praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit is to also help us know. Part of his job is to bring to revelation, is to bring to light, is to bring revelation to us so that we will know. We'll look at that also when we look at Ephesians. But let's go on this verse. Now that we might know the things, it says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there are things that have been given to us. I broke it down, the things that have been given to us. That's what freely is inside the body. The things that have been given to us. The things that have been given to us. So, bam. Holy Spirit, know. So that we may know. Know what? The things that have been given to us. Are you here? So, we have the Holy Spirit. You see the function of the Holy Spirit. And He comes so that we will know. And what do we know? We know the things that have been given to us. And you see, it's beautiful to know that things have been given to us. Come on. There are things that have been given to us. Given to us. And it says the Holy Spirit will help us know the things that have been given to us. Are you here? Yes, there are things that have been given to you. Things that have been given to you. And the job of the Holy Spirit, part of His assignment is to help us know those things that have been given to us. And who gave those things to us? God. The things that have been given to us of God. Then, finally, I'm unpacking that word freely last, because that's the key. And that's what I want us to get into. There are so many things we could get into, but I'm not going into the freely part. Maybe we will touch it as we go, but I mean, if you look at that verse, it's just powerful. The Holy Spirit, I'm saying this again because that's the beginning. The Holy Spirit comes to help us know the things that have been given to us by God. God, Almighty God, has given you some things. And He's saying that you can't know those things. You won't know those things unless you have the Holy Spirit. You can't just know them. So you have the Holy Spirit and He helps you to know. And God gave us, you, ordinary you, God gave you some things. A package. God has sent has given you a package. Come on. And but the beautiful thing, I think the part that I don't know, I'm drawn to stay there and all that, is that He has given to you this thing freely. It's not of your works. You are reading Bible. It's not because of what you have done. He gave them to you freely. Freely given to you. Freely. So now, from this verse, we say, there are things that have been given to me, not by my brother, not from my father, not from my uncle, not from abroad, but from God above. My heavenly Father has given me some things. And the Holy Spirit will help me know those things. And these things that He has given to me, He gave them to me freely. Freely. Without condition. So it's not about what I do or don't do. He gave them to me freely. I'm not moving. There's no point to move. How am I going to move? You're not seeing the power here. I mean, it's so beautiful. Believers in Christ Jesus, there are things that have been given to us by God freely. And the thing about something given to you is that if you do not know that you have something, or that you ought to be in a certain place, or then you cannot even begin to enjoy it. The foundation of all these things is knowing. Before we can begin to fight for them, because we can begin to act in faith, we must first of all know. And in knowing, I want to tie it together. I just hope you can receive this. I knew it was going to be tough, but I didn't know it was going to be this tough. Given to you by God freely. I'm like, things. Uh-huh. We're still looking like, continue. Continue where? We have received so much from God. in the package of salvation. When Jesus Christ died, he was buried and he rose again. We received so much from God. And if we must enjoy these things, we're seeing from this verse now, that so that we might know them. When we know them, we can now begin to act in faith. We can now begin to step out to receive them. So somebody says, somebody has given somebody something. If he doesn't know, then they can be stolen. Come on. And then he cannot enjoy them. So we cannot enjoy our Christian walk. We cannot enjoy our Christian lives and really benefit from this Christian thing if we do not know what is ours. If we don't know that he has done so much for us. This is funny. I was listening to a video yesterday and somebody was talking nonsense. And he was talking nonsense, but it's there. Nonsense in terms of the devil, you have to be careful, you can't talk about the devil. I'm like, really? We don't know. So, where is the devil now? You see, this is why the devil can still harass Christians. Because they don't know. You don't know where he is. You don't know how to keep him in his place. So while we are teaching and talking about God and all that, you are excited. And then you are excited and you are saying, keep him in his place. Who am I? Freely. You see, that's why you're not enjoying the world freely. Freely given to us. We don't need to do anything about it. Freely given to us. You didn't pay. Free. That's the problem. So you're like, I cannot do this, but freely. So somebody has paid already. And that's what people talk about. They'll talk about Christocentric. That's a big word. Christ should be at the center of our hearts, of our lives, of the church. But somehow Christ is one way, and what we need to do is somewhere inside there. We talk about what we need to do more than what Christ has done. The church don't even care about the death of Jesus Christ, about what Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ accomplished, about what his resurrection accomplished. So when we look at Jesus Christ and we see him on the cross, he died, he was buried, and then he rose up again from the dead. What was all that? What happened to the devil in the process of that, in doing all that in my life? What happened? Are you here? So, come on. We have the Holy Spirit so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. And then when we know them, they don't just go to waste. Imagine you have stuff and you don't know. What happens? The death of Jesus Christ can be a waste. In the lives of some believers, it's as if it accomplished nothing. The devil still comes in, and as because they don't know, he can just imagine. Let's look at it as an inheritance. We'll come to an inheritance. So I don't all the scriptures. They're just pouring right into my mind right now, and I'm trying to say, all right, use this first, then we'll go next to this. But I think we can jump safely to Colossians chapter number 1. Give me John. We'll come back here. Just jump safely into Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Look at what the Bible says. Giving thanks. You know, when we pray, we always say, Father, we give you thank you, Lord. Many of you find me praying, I'm like, Father, I thank you for this. But giving thanks unto the Father. Why? Which had made us meet to be partakers of the what? Inheritance of the saints in life. Inheritance. Those are the things that have been freely given to us. Our inheritance. Come on. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers. That we cannot partake of the inheritance. He qualified us. That's what it meant when he said he made it freely. He freely qualified us. So we can stand and say in the name of Jesus and demand and lay demand and receive. But we can't even begin to lay demand and receive and partake of our inheritance if we don't know. So the devil, and one thing he wants to do is to keep people ignorant. believers, ignorance. So you don't know, if you don't know what is yours, then somebody else can take it. It's stolen, technically it's stolen. If you don't know you have something, it can be stolen. If it's stolen from you, you won't even know it's stolen in the first place. The devil's chief weapon is ignorance. That's why the Bible calls him the father of lies. That's why the Bible says, you shall know the truth. Come on. Truth. Light. That's the truth. If you don't know, then he just takes it away. And if he takes it away, you don't even know that something is missing. Or you don't know that you should enjoy something. You don't know that it is yours. And imagine you don't know that it is freely given to you. I think that's, we can stay there a little bit. I'm not even going to move. Freely given to you. Come on. So, you think you need to do something for it? You know, there's this story that he said, I don't know if it's true, but I remember even Pastor Kesh talked about it. You know, you're in a, I don't know if it was a flight or a cruise. And when you pay for your meals also. And you don't know, and so you're going hungry and all that. And so when we got to the hotel, I asked, is there a complimentary meal? I asked because in some hotels, there's complimentary breakfast. You take breakfast every morning. It's already part of the bill. And so they were like, hey, I said, no, I've been in hotels where you get breakfast. And because I've actually suffered from it. And yeah, I have, truth. I didn't know, so he's going to ask. And then they say, why are you asking? What are you not saying? They say, no, it's not a part of it. You tell me. Because we pay, I went to see a dear man of God in Lagos. So he just put me in a hotel and everything. So I was, well, I just bought the whole thing and all that. And so we'll have a meeting and I'll take over the meeting and come. And then, until one day, this is true to me. I'm not, it's not a story. And I was like, the way you guys are leaving in the morning, not just me, it was some other pastors. You don't take your breakfast or nothing. Is there breakfast? I say, yeah. There's tea, a bread, and egg every morning. We didn't know. And it was paid for already. Real. And then people talk about this story, but that's the real story. And then Pastor Kay talked about the story how she was with her kids and then she was in a hotel or something. And they were just making milk and just managing and stuff. And they just to eat small. She didn't know that it was part of the bill. And so I go now and ask because it could be there, breakfast. And most hotels now, it depends. Most hotels give you breakfast, complimentary. It's complimentary. We're not talking about rice, chicken, no. Two slices of bread, two like this. One egg. Two slices of bread, one egg. Lipton that you won't like. Lipton, nobody give breakfast. I think the other hotel they give breakfast. A beverage, it's something else. But the idea is this. They give you. It's there, breakfast. Two slices of bread, it's terrible. So you still need to eat. But they know that because you're staying there, you need to do something, you still need to eat. But that's just complimentary, something small. And if you manage to come like us, that will be enough breakfast to carry you to around 2-3. You manage. And then you didn't know that, and then you're coming out, and then you're struggling. Freely given to you by God. Freely given to you. Freely. And so the object is for us to know. So if we didn't know, what do you think the staff would have been doing those days? Four rooms booked. Four eggs gone. They didn't ask. Stolen. Our host paid our bills and we didn't know. So they were like, you guys don't they? We don't. What is that? Yeah, it's small. Two slices of bread is but guy, we manage corn. We need to eat something. And we're suffering, we're starving. And then that'd be good something. And it's a little break. And he paid. So it would be a waste on that side. We will suffer. And then the staff will just say, okay, well. Because once they do that, they can deduct it freely. Because the boss knows that there are four rooms, means four, two, that, this, and all that. And they'll just be for it and take it. You know, I mean, we need to get to know our inheritance. What it means for us to come into, what it means now that we are sons of God. And can we flip back? Oh no, can you, no, just please, go to the next verse. Next verse here, let's do this next verse. Look at, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Huh? He had delivered us from the power of darkness. So, we're not under the power of darkness anymore. But we need to know. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You see the column there? Now, next verse tells us something again. Next verse. In whom, that is their son, eh? In whom we have, come on, can you say, we have? Redemption. How? How? Through his blood. We have something else again. We have it, though. What do we have again? I mean, look at that verse, please. I don't know. I think you're excited, and I'm happy you're excited. But did you get that? In whom we have, when you say we have, that is, we have these things. Huh? He clarifies it when he says even. He says in whom we have redemption, through his blood. When he uses it to say, you need to understand the depth of these things. Even the forgiveness of sins. So, forgiveness of sins from this verse. Don't make, you know, people try to think you're making things up, but calm down. Forgiveness of sins from this verse. Is it something that you have or something you need to try to collect? You have it as a possession. I love the way a dear man of God explained this verse. I love the way he did it. I mean, I don't think there can be a better way. There's a better way. Maybe I would have known it. But I mean, maybe Holy Spirit will help me. But right now, that's the only thing when I read this verse. It says have, eh? It's like you have pencil and the eraser on top. Those pencils that have eraser on top. Do you have the eraser? That's what he's trying to say. You are not trying to collect it from somebody else. We're not collecting it from God. This does not say forgiveness is with God. Is that deep? He says we have redemption through his blood. Even so, forget redemption. Can we bracket redemption and to blood? Bracket redemption, blood. So if we say in whom we have even the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is with us. We already have it. We're not trying to get it. That's there. That's scripture. So, but if the devil can tell you don't have it, and then you need to cry for it and fast and roll on the floor for it. Come on. You are rolling on the floor. You are suffering. These are happening in your life. That should not happen, and you are waiting on somebody to give you something that you already have. Some people fast for the forgiveness of sins. They fast and suffer and think that if they punish themselves, God will now give it to them. You already have it. Forgiveness of sins. So somebody says, so when I do something wrong, what do you do? Father, I thank you. I receive your forgiveness. Because you already have it. You say, what do you mean? Yeah, that's how you go. You have it, so just receive it. He already made provision for you through his blood. That's why you have that there. That's why you have that there, through his blood. What's his blood for? To cover tire and to cover driver. Cover the road. Cover the blood, cover road, cover tire, cover driver, cover the bus, but it won't cover your sins. It's easy. The use of blood. The use of blood is for covering the road. I plead the blood on the road. I pour the blood on the driver. The tires are covered with blood. The engine is covered with the blood of Jesus. Your life, Uncle. Through his blood, you have also the forgiveness of sins. But go to verses up. Go back to verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. There is so much that he has given to us. And guess what? All we need to do is know these things. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It's not about God's provision. It's about our knowledge. We can't begin to contend for things we don't know if it's our own. Many times, you won't fight for it because you don't know if it's your own. You are a little bit calm. You don't want to shout because you are not sure. But when you are sure, you are shouting. Come on. You are saying, no. That is, I want to, for me, this very teaching, after this teaching, just know I'm going straight to faith. There's no way we can skip it. I'm going straight to faith. Because once you know, then faith can come alive. The reason why I'm fighting for health, because health is mine. I will not accept this. Oh God, stop this thing now. Then you are saying, I'm going to act because it is mine. You see, then we can't talk about these things. And we're talking about faith and we're talking about actions and stepping out there. And we're talking about confessions and speaking boldly. We can't speak boldly when we don't know. We are afraid. Hey, sir, please. Can I? No, you can't. This road was created for you. Please, take care. It's like somebody is dealing with is an inheritance, right? Imagine somebody has inheritance and doesn't really know. What will happen? It's still was uncles and aunties. Come on. They will enter into it and just take it. We talk about somebody has bank accounts. Their bank accounts are locked up today because husbands don't tell their wives. Some husbands don't tell their wives. Stupid husbands. Don't tell their wives. Sorry. Yes, be angry. I said this. That they have accounts. I had to think first. I'm correct. That they have accounts. Yes. And then they don't know. Yes, sir. Now, something happens suddenly. She doesn't know. Never, ever. Money gone. Don't keep it there. It's in the bank. Bank knows that it cannot be accessed. It cannot be accessed. You know, after some years, the money is just taken and absorbed. Just absorbed into CBN. CBN just becomes Federal Government of Nigeria money. CBN just takes it and uses it to buy diesel for the country. And the president are suffering. Are you getting this? Yes. Yes. So if you don't know anything, it just goes. It's stolen, it's lost, you can't get it. And then somebody else just takes it away. You hear? Partakers of the inheritance. So imagine you have an inheritance and you don't know. What will happen? The uncles and the aunties. Uncles and aunties will just take it. Children are suffering. The uncles and aunties just absorb everything. You're seeing this now. The children don't know. And so they have a right. They now seemingly have a right to get into this society. But if the children know those things, then at least we can start talking about a fight. We can start talking about the fight of faith. We can start talking about contending. We can start saying, no, this thing, I refuse it. You see, they cannot start doing all that. But they can't do all that unless they know. You see that now? Somebody just sells the property, say in our family land, our family property. But your father's portion inside is there. And he just sells everything. He said, no. I know. My father has already told me that part of this thing, this land, this estate, part of it is for him. That this part of it is for him. You can sell your own, but you can't sell this one. When you know that, you can begin to act. I'm talking about the inheritance we have in Christ Jesus. This that we have. So can we go back to Corinthians now and look at this? I want us to go over it again. You just didn't get that. No, just go straight to verse number 12. I want to jump into it. Verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but you see, so we are not left ignorant. We're not left ignorant. He has made provision for us, and then he made provision for us to know what we have. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He made provision for us. Not just the provision for the things, but provisions to know. So providing the things, done deal. Jesus Christ died and settled. But we have to avail ourselves of the privilege of knowing. And say, I want to know. Come on. I want to know what Christ did for me. I want to know the meaning of his death, burial, and resurrection. This teaching is not to show you everything. I'm not even attempting to go there. There's no point. I'll talk about your health, victory. I'll talk about promotion. I'll talk about everything. Your life. All right. Second Peter. Move there first. Second Peter chapter number 1. Let me just do that. So you see that it's a huge something. Second Peter chapter number 1.
Verse number 3.
According as his divine power had given unto us, all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. You see that again there? His divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So in essence, he made provision. Perfect, complete provision for you. Everything that pertains to your life, his divine power had made it available. Everything that pertains to your godly living, to live for his name, he had made it available. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Come on. And so people are struggling today in their lives, not knowing that his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to our life. So somebody's wondering why I am constantly in touch, in trying to know him. Getting to know him. Because everything that concerns my life is in him. No, when you tell people to come to church and talk about church, they are thinking you are talking about Jesus. No, when we are talking about Jesus, everything will concern you. Your whole life is wrapped up in Jesus. When we say, get to know God, get to grow in God, get to know God, they're like, you don't understand. My life, things they happen. I'm like, that's dumb. No. All your life is wrapped up in him. What everything that he did for you. So once you begin to look at him and see all that he has done for you, you can now begin to enjoy them. So when we talk about knowing Jesus, I mean, we're talking about you. Are you here? Why did Paul say that I might know him? And the power of his resurrection. Where did he get life from? It's from knowing Jesus. That's why I said I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. That's why Paul prayed for us too. For spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. All the scriptures I'm doing, I'm going to do them over and over again. Because now I'm running away from here. But because I'm trying to connect these things for you. You see, the thing is rich. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So, if we look at this scripture now, we see provision. Provision made. He had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the Spirit of God that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. You see, given to us. Given to us. You are seeing given to us here. It's here again. His divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life. Given to us. Are you not saying giving, giving? The Christian life is not about walking. It's about knowing and receiving. That's what it's about. Knowing and receiving. Because everything has been given. That's the truth. So if you look at it, I said knowing. Knowing. The key in your life is to know. The quest in my heart is to know what Christ has done for me. Once I can know it. No, once I can know it, that's what I'm going to talk to you about knowing, and I'm going to talk to you about receiving. When I know it, then the battle can start for receiving it. But it can't even start to receive if I don't even know. So when we are talking to people and we want them to come and know, and they disconnect, I'm like, what is it? You don't understand. You need to know these things. Don't struggle. Don't run around. Come to know. And so they think that church is church. It's like you are doing another thing, and then they are doing another thing. That you just say, maybe culture, maybe another. No, church is your life. When we come and expound truths from the scriptures like this, your eyes will open. And I'm sure, and I hope that you are coming with open eyes to learn something. Really? Now you are seeing this. I know sometimes people block this and it's hard. But it's not really hard. Christ died for you. So now he has given unto us all things. Come on, say all things.
All things.
Not some things, but all things. That everything that pertains unto life, being alive. He is dead, solved it once and for all. He did not come and say, I'll take care of this, I'll take care of this, I'll take care of this. No, it's all things that pertain to life. Once you are alive, he's died, rose again from the dead, and made provision for all things that pertains to life. Everything that pertains to living a godly life, living for Him and keeping yourself pure and working in all this stuff, all those things too, He has packaged them. Somebody said to be a Christian is not easy. I say no. He has made it available for you. He made it able for you to live a Christian life without stress by the power of His Spirit. All things given to us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Can you go back again? Go back again to Corinthians. We'll see that again. First Corinthians again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. You see things again. The things that have been freely given to us of God. The things that God has given to us. The first object, the work of the believer now is to get to know them. I think, okay, I have to go back again. I'm dealing with freely. There's a lot of things to deal with. Like, I'm dealing with freely. Freely given to us by His divine power. I'm dealing with the fact that they've been given to us. Before we can even maybe start talking about knowing them, you have to know that this thing has been freely, it's freely your own. If you don't know it's your own, then the devil just takes advantage. So, some of us cannot even tell the difference or the reason why we are a Christian. What's the difference? What do we actually have? Nothing. That's it. Nothing. Right? Just the same masses. The same rat race. The same everything. No. Then why are we Christians? There are some things that He has given to us. Freely given to us. Then we need to know them. When we know them, we can now begin to fight for them. Are you here? Let me give you an example. The problem is not God's provision. The problem is us knowing them. I'll give you an example, a concrete one, in Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Oh, I'm just jumping here and there. Okay, don't go to Romans chapter number 10. Go to Philippians chapter number 1. Let me show you. Philippians chapter number 1. We'll come here. We'll come after this. I want to show you this one first. You see what Paul is praying again. I want you to see this. In Philippians, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, verse number two, cease not to give thanks for you. I was thanking God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What am I praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? In the knowledge of Him. You know, when Paul says that He will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, the issue we have when we consider Paul is, and this kind of scripture, is that we say in the knowledge of Him. Then Paul, again, the same Paul goes in Philippians to say that I may know Him. And you are thinking that He's talking about Him and knowing Him in abstract terms. No. When He says that He prays that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, He's actually talking about you and what you can enter into. Because when you can see it in Him, then you can see it in your life. If you know Jesus, I help you. So somebody says, that's why I don't care about these pastors. They're just talking about all these things to know Jesus. I know Jesus, it doesn't help me. Because they disconnect from Jesus. He said, Jesus is here, I am here. No, where is Jesus? Oh no, you didn't get that. That, I thought that one would just make it land. What did you say? You said, Jesus, I receive you. Come into my heart. So where is Jesus? When Paul said that I may know Him, he's talking about that I may enter into my closet. I begin to find the cloth that they gave me. It's inside your closet. Wait till you define for Sokoto, it's inside Sokoto. That's what Paul is saying, that I may know Him. So people take the knowledge of Jesus. Why do I say I want to know Jesus? Say, I want to get to know Jesus more. What you are thinking is that, I want to, like when you say you want to know your uncle or your auntie or a big man. Yeah, if you don't know that, you know anybody there. Right? The thing about that is that it's there and I'm here. Abi? But about this knowing Jesus that we're talking about, are you here? It's as you are seeing it in him, then it is also in you, because Jesus is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, if you don't know the greaterness of the greater one, you can't enjoy it. That's what I'm trying to say. So, when I'm trying to know God, it's not in abstract sense. When I can see his power, I say, eh? That power is inside me? The devil is a liar. That's how I say. Same power that raised up Christ from the dead, that same power dwells inside of you. You see that now? So he's only looking for, he says that God, can you all read this verse for me? One, two, go. Read, everybody read, one, two, go. You see it now? Knowledge of him. You know, can I say something to you? Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Paul, one of the times, there's this dear man of God. He opened the scripture to me in a brief when I was sharing with my wife. I got him. You know, when he says, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Huh? He's beautiful. He didn't talk about the things. Or he's not saying truth. When we talk about this thing, we say you will know truth. There are different levels of truth. You go into deeper levels of truth, or truth as a word, truth. No, he says him. In him is everything. You know, let me go back to what our verse, where he says his divine power has given us all things, right? All those things are wrapped up in this wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. You get that? It is him that is everything. He is the box. All those things that have been freely given to us by God, they are in him. You get that now? All those things are inside Jesus Christ. So, laying a hold of him is laying a hold of everything. Thank you. Let me give you another story. I like the way you are getting this. Thank you. Now, stay with me. This story maybe helps clarify. No, stories help. Like I told you, that pencil one, that eraser on top is just beautiful. There's no need to fight too much. This man says, anybody who can, I can't remember this story very well, I'm sorry, but it does work. Anybody who can take the most important thing to me, will take everything, will have all my property. And so people come and they are trying to think, what's the most important thing to this man? And there's this man that has lost his son. I think it's a story. And then people come and they are looking at the most important thing, they are looking at the things, the possessions he has. And then somebody comes there and sees a picture, a framed picture of the man's son. And said, all I want is this picture. If I can get this picture, I'm okay. You guys can take everything. I just will take this picture. And not knowing that, secretly, the man has said, anybody who takes that picture has taken everything. That person has the right to everything. And so, he said, because the person has taken my son. Something like that. I didn't say it very well, but alas, it's like, they are properties. And it's like, how did that go? I'm trying. But whatever the case is, take what you want. And so people are coming and taking things. Oh, I'll take this. Somebody comes and says, I don't need anything. I know how precious this man's son is to him. And because of that frame just there like that, I mean, I'm not getting anything, but let me just take the frame. Let me keep that. At least keeping that will help keep the memory and something this old man really loves. And the man is dead now. But in his will, anybody who takes my son takes everything. And so the poor stupid pastor in this case, I know what I'm saying. The one thing about knowing Jesus, you say pastor can go ahead and know Jesus. So I have many things to do. Like I have to go and hustle some things. You know, there are things you don't understand. I'm telling you that laying hold of Jesus is laying hold of everything in life. So this madness that people are playing, it doesn't really work. The Son, everything is wrapped up in the Son. He put everything inside his Son. His Son is his love, is everything. And so when we come to him, this is the challenge of Christians, and we receive his Son, we have received the biggest gift. We have received the beloved Son of God. That is what makes us beloved of God. Why are you beloved of God? Because you do good. No. Because of Jesus Christ. So when you receive the Son, you too just automatically became beloved of Jesus, of God. Beloved, automatic. Because he loves his Son so much, he will do everything for him. And now you now receive the Son into your life. Automatically you don't become beloved also. So why am I beloved of God? You can't imagine, this teaching is just bringing up so many questions. Why does God love you? Like me now, I come to church. If you don't come to church, God don't feel like you. You know, like people, when they come to church, they give offering. You don't give offering for church, God don't feel like you. I mean, how sad that we leave his Son one way. One way. And we don't know why we are beloved of God. And so we are trying. Somebody tricks us. If you can give this, God will love you more. So people try to do it so that God can love them. I mean, that is the difference between religion, every religion, Christianity and every other religion, is the fact that we come to our God. Only us come to our God. And he receives us without what we do. Every other religion require meditation, doing some acts, doing some stuff to get into favor with the God. But for us, we come into favor with our God because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. That God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Are you here? Let's leave this. I want to give you an example before I go today. Today I've just been rich. I hope it's not been too much, but just been rich. In Romans chapter number 10, let's just go there, then I'll come back. We'll do all this, and we'll be blessed. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Are you here? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Next verse. For they, being that's the real problem. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Come on, you see that? This verse, why I showed us this verse is that it shows us clearly that the issue is not provision. The issue is ignorance. Because they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And so therefore, they started going about to establish their own righteousness. So therefore, they did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. So have God made a provision for righteousness? They were doing something reasonable. They were trying to establish their own righteousness. But there was already provision. And their provision will not be enough. Will never be enough. And so they will fall short. They will lack. They will suffer. So, for me, Paul nails it when he says, for they being ignorant. It is like when the prophet, the verse in Hosea 4:6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the real problem. There's a lack of knowledge. They don't know. They're ignorant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also reject you. You miss that when you look at like I will, but you also be rejected. There's no way. There's nothing I can do. If you know, you enter. If you don't know, you can enter. So there's nothing I can do. But the real destruction and the real problem is for lack of knowledge. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You don't know. So they know not. So they are ignorant. And because of their ignorance, they are trying to establish their own righteousness. Can you go back to Romans? I just wanted to quote it. You would have moved, but verse number 3. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness, they are going about to establish their own righteousness. So, with this verse, I want to say this. Has God made provision for righteousness? From this verse, we now quickly say that it is not a matter of provision. It's a matter of ignorance. Can we agree to that? I think we can see that there. So what about if it is not just righteousness? Come on. What about if it is financial prosperity, stability? Come on. What about if it is healing, health? What about if it is defense? What about if God has made provision for your defense, for your protection, and you are not aware? So you are in fear all the time. When I say, I'm always afraid, something can happen. The fear is there. But is it because of lack of provision or because of ignorance? So we can see, if we go back to our verse, this verse says that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. If we do not know those things, we would suffer. Go to Psalm 82. I have to do this. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to go. But because I'm going to come back again. And I want to urge you, in all my teachings, in all my discussions, I don't really push you to do this. But take these verses, all the verses I've used just now, I've quoted just now, all the verses we've read, go back and through this week, read them again. Because we're going to come again and look at them again and go deeper. We're going to go deeper. If some of us have, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. I'm trying to show you that it's not a matter of lack of provision, but it's a matter of ignorance and knowing all the things that have been freely given to us by God. Next verse. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? Selah. Next verse. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. This is the assignment I've given to you. Next verse. Look at it. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So he's complaining, I've told you to do all these things. I've given you the power to do all these things. But they know not. The problem is not the lack of power. The problem is a lack of knowledge. Not the lack of power. So when we are crying for more power, we are actually off. He has made the provision for righteousness. His divine power has given us all things. You see, I'm going to quote those scriptures again. There's no need. I've given you more than 10. Okay, maybe not up to 10. Sorry. I've given you enough scriptures. Let's not just number. I've given you several. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's there. So it's not about his divine power coming in. It's about knowing what his divine power has done. Know what his divine power has done for you. You need to know that. So what has his divine power provided for you? And at every stage in your life, you will need different things. Come on. So anytime you need anything, by the time he's trying to pass exam, trying to get 2 A's, 3 A's, you have passed 2 A's, 3 A's. Student, remember when you used to pray for A's? You don't pray for that anymore. You can be praying for husband, boyfriend. You can be praying for money now. See. So anytime you need anything, what should you do? Pray for a power to bring it? No. Go and search your closet. Go and find out. Go and know what his divine power has provided for you. Father, I need this thing. Then it is your job to go and find out. To know, and my quest in this teaching is not to end with telling you the problem is knowing. My quest in this teaching is to bet in your heart, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me bet in your heart a fervency to begin to want to know. So people don't want to know. We live in a place where people don't want to know anything. They don't want to know how. They want you to just give them. And this even goes to money. That's why MBE is coming up. That's one matter. But people just want to They want you to just give them. They don't want to know how. And so I pray for you that through the course of these teachings, that a hunger will be better by the Holy Spirit, by my Father. And that you will begin to want to know. That you will see a book on the believer's authority. And it will move you. I want to know what my authority is. You buy the book. But how much for this book? It's 2.5. It's 2.5. Is it? But the power in that book, the light, it will shine to you. Not the power. That's what I mean by power. Because once you get to know it, you get to have power. You now enter into the provision. So you buy the book, the believer's authority. How to find and fulfill God's will for your life. Find, follow, and fulfill God's will for your life. See, book. I want to know how. I want to know. Because once you can know, somebody says, I don't know what God's will. You see knowledge there. You get to the message. You say, take the message. Listen to the message. You go to the message. You say, let me see the title. They show you the title. You say, I want this one, this one, this one. You go and listen to them. Guess what? You want to know. When it takes out our passion to know, he destroys our lives. There's no passion to know. When we say read the Bible, you are making mistakes. Is it like reading the Bible is so that God will be happy with you? No. The Bible is like someone, your father wrote a will. Everything that he has given to you. Holy Spirit, help me. And it is, you have to go and know the will. Say, what does the will say? People take the will to the lawyer for interpretation. And two lawyers are arguing about the interpretation of that will. And you come and say, I know. It should be. I'll show you Daniel next week. I don't have time again. Daniel said, I understood by books that the time for deliverance has come. And what are we doing in captivity? 70 years have been accomplished. And so we must come out. I set myself up to pray. Ah, God. When you now know, you begin to pray real prayer. Not just praying, oh God, please. Oh God, please. Oh God, please. God, please. Please. What was that? You think he's holding something away from you? No, he's not trying to hold anything away from you. You don't know. And the devil is preying on your ignorance. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness. They go about trying to establish their own righteousness. And therefore, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's the problem. Praying that you get to know. A hunger. So when you are reading the Bible, when we're talking about reading the Bible, in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, in your office, you don't read the Bible in the office. It's like, yeah, too much. No, it's to know. To know the will. What he says is my own. This one belongs to me. That one belongs to me. This one belongs to me. Okay. Now I know what you might not even be interested though. See, you get to Abuja and you are staying in rent in Abuja. Let's say you know your father has 150/100 in Benin. You have that, you know that. Then somehow your job takes you to Abuja. Come on, they promote you and you get to Abuja and you are staying in rent. I say, hey, let me check that my father's will again. Let me be reading it. Guess who our father is? Okay, I don't know if you got that part. He's the possessor of everything. So we can say, does he have the house in Abuja? I was not interested before. I didn't care about Abuja before. But now I'm in Abuja. Whenever you get to any stage of your life, there's provision for you for that stage of your life. Every stage. So now that I'm in Abuja, guess what I will do again? That's that. Abuja inside is in Gwalipa to the left. You get there, people are there. Sorry, oh, I've come. Legal battle begins. You begin to quote. Thus saith the Lord. You see where faith goes. You now begin to quote. Then you have to have the legal thing. You're going to say, it's my house, it's my house. Don't kick you out. But he said, no. The Bible says, as it is written, this thing was left for me. I've left it for you since. But it's time to pack and go. It's time. It's time to go. Satan, get lost. This thing is my own. And I'm ready to take it now. Before I didn't know. Before I didn't even care. But now. Are you here? Do not take it. So the quest is to, you're not reading Bible as a matter, not as a matter of doing something for somebody. You are attending services, attending meetings, not as a matter of attending so that somebody can be. No, people miss it. When you get to do, you're doing your job and you're getting people to come calling you. It's like, is that calling your church? No! You get to hear these things, and when you hear these things, they begin to stimulate you and they begin to help you. We all need the provision of God. That's why He made the provision. Brothers and sisters, if your life can be complete without the provision of God, He wouldn't have bothered to make the provision. All of us need it too. All of us will need the provision of God in one faith way or the other. Are you here? Yes, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us through the course of this teaching. Bear in our hearts, Father, a longing for you, that we will long to know you, Jesus, not just as a character, as a person, but who you are in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit, only you can do this for us. Let there be a longing and a hunger to know you, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to see the provisions you have made for us. And for whatever stage we are in right now, help us see the provisions you have made for us, in the name of Jesus. Bet in our hearts a hunger for you, in the name of Jesus. That we will know the things that have been freely given to us. We will know the things that you have freely given to us. We will know the things that Christ died and purchased for us. We will know the things that your blood purchased for us, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to enjoy everything. Everything that you have for us. We don't want to miss anything. We want to enjoy everything. Father, we ask that you draw us to yourself, to this knowledge, this knowing. And we, Holy Spirit, that you open up our eyes. You grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you.